Thank you to the founding sponsor of Undivided, 1530 Mortgage. Visit them at 1530mortgage.com. Today, a glimmer of hope that one of America's most beautiful cities can finally live up to its full potential.
We will not tolerate organized retail theft, which has become rampant in Seattle, causing businesses to close and leave our city. It's as simple as that. We will not tolerate that.
A month and a half in, could Seattle's new mayor finally be bringing about the change that Seattle desperately needs? Plus, Tulsi Gabbard.
Live, love, live aloha.
Invited to speak at the Conservative Political Action Conference, also known as CPAC, and folks from both parties have a lot to say about it. This is the Undivided Podcast. I'm Brandi Cruz. Thanks for listening. Oh, man. I was just starting to get excited about this whole end of the two-year nightmare that has been the pandemic. I really, you know, I think we're coming out of it. And even states like Washington are starting to at least message that we're getting out of it. And I was all like, oh, it's going to be such a nice summer and not worrying about it. It feels like so long since things have felt normal. And I was on Twitter and World War III was trending. I'm like, of course it would be. Of course we would get out of the two-year nightmare of COVID, and then we're on the verge of World War III. And I say that half-jokingly, not sure if it's going to get to that point. And this isn't a foreign policy podcast. If you guys want to get the latest breaking news on Russia and Ukraine, this is not the place that you're going to get it. I can give you a little synopsis. Essentially, Russian President Vladimir Putin is sending troops into some eastern regions of Ukraine that are considered pro-Moscow. He earlier in the day declared them to be independent, and he's sending some troops there on what he's calling peacekeeping, for peacekeeping efforts, which, you know, it's Putin, so that's probably bullshit. But it just, so I saw that on Twitter that World War III was trending, and then right below it, hashtag fart was trending, which is Twitter in a nutshell. I hate Twitter so much. I wish I could quit Twitter. I'm not there yet. But again, we'll probably cover updates on Russia and Ukraine here and there, but this isn't a breaking news podcast and it's not a foreign policy podcast. So I'm going to leave that to the experts. But I swear to God, if World War III breaks out after the pandemic gets done, I'm just going to go into hiding. I'm going to go find a remote stretch of wilderness and just live off the grid. Speaking of living off the grid, the homeless situation in Seattle, is that an okay segue? I don't know. We have a new mayor in Seattle. And those of you who, you might not live in Seattle and still listen to this, Seattle politics, you know, have a huge impact on progressive politics across the country, and really politics up and down the West Coast sort of oozes into business in Washington, D.C. and into Congress. And so I always think, even if you don't live here, what's happening in Seattle is always intriguing. We got a new mayor in January, Mayor Bruce Harrell, and he's a former city council president, longtime Seattleite, but he's a Democrat. He's a pretty run-of-the-mill Democrat as far as Seattle is concerned. I would not consider him a progressive, and so he was the most moderate option that Seattle voters had, and he talked a good talk on the campaign trail. He and I did many interviews, and he talked about the importance of getting more police officers on the streets, replacing all the officers that Seattle has lost to the defund debate, and also dealing with the homeless crisis that we have in a more direct way, you know, not allowing these massive encampments to form on public right-of-ways, in public parks, next to schools, which to me sounds so uncontroversial, but apparently in Seattle it's a very controversial thing to say that you don't want a homeless camp next to an elementary school. Anyway, I will say, so we're at February 21st. Bruce Harrell is impressing me thus far. He's been doing work quietly, but on the homeless front, there have been a couple, not just homeless encampments where people are tented and living, but there's some of these areas where there have been these big open-air drug and stolen merchandise areas, drug markets. So you've got people lined up selling drugs, doing drugs. And then there's just a bunch of stolen goods on the street that people are selling. A lot of it's stolen from the downtown Target, which has been a frequent victim of these shoplifting rings. So anyway, Bruce Harrell has gone in, protesters be damned, and he has directed the city agencies and the Seattle Police Department to go in and clean up these problem areas, which is something that he had promised to do.
We will not tolerate organized retail theft, which has become rampant in Seattle, causing businesses to close and leave our city. It's as simple as that. We will not tolerate that.
One of these problem areas is in an area called Little Saigon in the International District. And it was just disgusting. Now, there's a podcast, so I'll try to paint a visual for you. Packed with people, it's a couple blocks long, packed with people. There's folks shooting up. There is clear open air drug dealing happening. There's a bunch of merchandise. In fact, I saw a pair of shoes that I own. So there's some stolen, it's not my pair of shoes, but it's the same pair. So for sale, some black heels. And so there's some stolen merchandise out there. And it's just disgusting. And business owners in the area had just been beside themselves with what to do. And again, this is in Little Saigon, so it's a community of color that progressives pretend to care about, but yet they let this community of color be completely taken over by this criminal element. Well, not anymore. Not only did Bruce Harrell send in city crews to clear it up, but he has maintained a police presence in the area with officers going around, checking on businesses to see how things are going. Here is part of a report from Como News in Seattle.
On this Friday night in Little Saigon, it's mostly quiet. And coupled with that, there's a sense of relief. In front of this market at 12th and Jackson, the sidewalk is once again open, though some businesses have closed up shop and some windows remain broken and loosely patched. This is how it used to look, a different kind of market where drugs and stolen items traded hands. It's also where multiple shootings have happened going back to last October. We're told Seattle police cleared out this area yesterday. A mobile precinct now sits across the street with officers patrolling nearby.
And this is a little bit of what Mayor Bruce Harrell went out to Little Saigon to just check in on things. Here's a little bit of what he told Como News.
Well, our strategy that we implemented on 12th and Jackson is going to be the strategy we're going to work out throughout the city. We listen to communities, we follow the data, we understand what kind of behaviors are unacceptable.
You know, speaking of Como News, there is a reporter who you should follow if you're not already, Jonathan Cho. He's really interesting because, so he's been covering the homeless issue a lot, and he and I have both been targeted quite a bit by protesters when we've been out covering homeless sweeps or the homeless issue in general. If you guys watched an episode of Undivided a couple weeks ago, if you go to Undivided with Brandi Cruz on YouTube, you'll see the episode on there. We went out with a group called We Heart Seattle, which goes out to a community-led group just of volunteers. They go out, they pick up trash at homeless encampments and do some outreach to people living there. It's just citizens who were sick and tired of seeing all this and took it upon themselves. And when I went there, the protesters spent the better part of an hour, these protesters all dressed in black with their black umbrellas out there blocking our camera, trying to stop us from filming and trying to stop this group from cleaning up trash.
Just in the name here, of like being reasonable. Like,
no, I'm standing here having to waste my time.
So anyway, after that happened to me and my camera guy and we did that report, there's this group on Twitter called Divest SPD that is in favor of demolishing the Seattle Police Department. And the tolerant progressives that I'm sure that they are, they tweeted, PSA, if you see Jonathan Cho, Brandi Cruz, Jason Antebi, which is Jason Rance, they use his real name to try to dox him. If you see Jonathan Cho, Brandi Cruz, Jason Antebi, Katie Davis Court, or any of these other goblins filming and harassing the unhoused downtown or anywhere, please throw garbage at them. Let me read that again. Again, this is from a Divest SPD Twitter account. I don't know who runs it, but it's this group that's in favor of doing away with police in Seattle. So you already know the mindset of these people. PSA, if you see Jonathan Cho, Brandi Cruz, Jason Antebi, Katie Davis Court, or any of these other goblins filming and harassing the unhoused downtown or anywhere, please throw garbage at them. Okay. So anyway, Jonathan Cho, despite the harassment that he gets from these protesters, has been out there relentlessly covering these issues. And after the situation in Little Saigon was cleared, there are also tents and have been tents lined up on 4th Avenue in Seattle near City Hall. And that was the next street that Mayor Harrell decided to clean up. And, you know, I'm just proud of Jonathan Cho because he goes down there. Of course, those same ridiculous protesters are down there trying to stop this trash from being cleaned up and trying to stop journalists from filming, including Jonathan Cho.
Now, why are you filming there, buddy?
So I gotta say, that man is fearless. I do worry about him sometimes because he goes out there and, you know, protesters be damned. But despite the threats that he gets, despite the harassment that he gets, he's out there on the front lines doing his job, and he's doing a really good job at raising awareness for what's going on in the city of Seattle. In fact, he did a story a few weeks ago about all these tents popping up around downtown, stopping people with wheelchairs from being able to get past them. And I don't know if the mayor of Seattle saw that reporting, but he has targeted some of those encampments to get some of those tents out of the way. Now, why this impresses me with Bruce Harrell, you might think, well, yeah, that's what a mayor should do. That's not impressive at all. In Seattle, it is impressive. Because in Seattle, there is this really false, righteous indignation from the protest class. They'll call you racist if you dare point out the homeless issue or any other problem. They just say you're racist, or like they called us goblins. And they think that that'll scare people away. But Bruce Harrell has not been deterred by them so far. And that is a positive change. The former mayor, Mayor Jenny Durkan, I think she tried to acquiesce to those crowds too much. And Bruce Harrell has made it clear from the onset that he's not going to do that. He has made it clear that crime in the city is not going to be tolerated, vilifying police is not going to be tolerated, and that a tent in the middle of a busy sidewalk is not going to be tolerated. And believe it or not, that is actually a very brave thing for a politician to do in a city like Seattle. And for those who don't agree with the city going in and sweeping these camps or doing away with these big drug stolen goods markets, I would just try to ask you to really consider what your values are. You know, I brought up Little Saigon, and you have progressives who claim to care about communities of color and they want to lift them up, yet you're allowing this community of color, the businesses, to be completely destroyed, people to walk around and not feel safe. How can you actually care about that community when you are okay allowing this two blocks to be riddled with drug use and crime and stolen merchandise and homeless encampments? To me, that's a really shitty way to show that you care about a community. And so those values just don't seem like they align for me. But, you know, one of the things and why I wanted to discuss this today is I feel the winds of change moving in. I truly do. For those of us who have been screaming from the rooftops for several years about the direction of the city, warning people about the potential implications of defunding the police, warning people about the implications of letting homeless camps pop up all over the city, warning people about the dangers of letting small fringe groups of protesters and rioters dictate public policy. For those of us who have been doing that and who have been relentlessly attacked for doing that, I can at least speak for myself in saying that I'm finally starting to see and appreciate why all of that was worth it. Why it was worth 3, 4, 5 years of being called right-wing, Seattle's Ann Coulter being accused of hating the homeless. Because I could deal with all of the backlash, I could deal with the assaults on my character, as long as the city got better, as long as things got better. And for the first time in years, I feel like we are on the edge of opportunity. I feel like people are starting to take their voices back. People who are, yes, progressive. People who care deeply about those who are living on the streets, those who are in the throes of addiction, those who are suffering with severe mental health crises. But people who understand that you can care deeply about all of those issues, but it's okay for you to also refuse to see the city you love fall apart around you. And that is the angle that I have always taken over these years as I've been hard on Seattle and hard on the direction that Seattle was going. That frustration and anger and those difficult questions that I would often ask elected leaders came from a place of deep care and concern about the city I love and a belief that it can be better. You know, I laugh sometimes. One of the laziest criticisms I see of me and my commentary on social media is that I don't even live in Seattle. Yeah, she doesn't even live in Seattle. Why do you think I don't live in Seattle anymore? I lived in Seattle for 10 years, almost 10 years, and I watched it go to shit. We used to go, my friends and I used to go out downtown, Post Alley by Pike Place Market. Can you even imagine? I would never do that these days. It's such a lazy criticism to act as if you have to live in Seattle to care about Seattle. Seattle is the economic engine for the entire state. Its success or failure matters to every single person living in the state. So it's a complete bullshit deflection to suggest that I don't have a dog in the fight or that I don't care, truly care about Seattle or its people because I don't live in the city anymore. So to those who have joined in this movement to retake the narrative in the city, to those who have started to speak out, to demand that the city not only take care of its most vulnerable citizens, but that the city live up to its full potential in the process, welcome to the fight. Welcome to the fight. It doesn't make you a bad person. It doesn't make you right wing. It doesn't make you Republican. It doesn't make you a NIMBY. It makes you someone who actually cares about people and who actually cares about the city you live in. And you will be on the right side of this. And so will reporters like Jonathan Cho, who has continued to show what is really happening on the streets, even though it has led to harassment, it has led to threats, it has led to him being labeled and vilified. That work is not for nothing. One day, maybe 5 years from now, we're going to look back at this time. And for those who were willing to speak up and to say, we deserve better as a citizenry, our city can be better than this, I hope in 5 years you are going to be so proud about your decision to speak up. Because we will be living in a better city because of it. And all those activists, all those anarchists, all those rioters who tried desperately for years to hold this city down, to keep people living in poverty, to keep people living in the squalor of homeless camps, they will have lost their voice. And I can only hope by then that they will have found more productive ways to spend their time. One more interesting national story I want to get to, but first I want to take a minute to tell you about the founding sponsor of Undivided, 1530 Mortgage. If you're looking to buy a new house or maybe you want to refinance, to do a remodel, something we did during the pandemic, which was quite the experience, but definitely, definitely worth it at the end. If you're looking just to get into your dream home or make your current house your dream home, I highly recommend 1530 Mortgage. Their whole thing is about just getting you into your dream home as quickly as possible. It's an awesome company run by really great people. 1530 Mortgage was here to support me when I went out on my own to be an independent journalist, and I know that you will really enjoy working with them to make your dream of home ownership a reality. You can find out more at 1530mortgage.com or call 206-207-7777 and let them know you heard about them on the Undivided podcast. 1530 Mortgage, NMLS number 1761573, Equal Housing Opportunity. One story of intrigue I want to talk about, and anyone who doesn't identify with a political party or doesn't belong to a political party, I think can identify with this story. Tulsi Gabbard, of course, a 2020 presidential candidate who has basically been shunned by her own party for not being left enough, although she was like a Bernie Sanders supporter. Well, Tulsi Gabbard has, of course, become a pretty frequent contributor on Fox News. She still considers herself a Democrat, but she is a Democrat that is willing to call balls and strikes on Democrats when it's necessary. And there was an announcement today that she is going to be speaking at CPAC. And of course, CPAC is the Conservative Political Action Conference, where the who's who of Republicans and conservatives go to speak. And so it is interesting that Tulsi Gabbard is a featured speaker, although she, you know, does some Fox News analysis. She, like I said, does still consider herself a Democrat. And it was so interesting to see the responses about Tulsi Gabbard speaking at CPAC, because it just represented what it's like to be in this area of middle ground where you don't fit in either party and you feel like you don't belong and you feel shunned by everyone. Basically the gist of the reactions, and I'll read you a few, were Democrats saying, I told you, Tulsi Gabbard is a conservative. This is not a shock. And then it was conservatives saying, how dare you have Tulsi Gabbard speak at CPAC? She was a Bernie Sanders supporter and she doesn't represent conservative values. So it was like nobody wanted Tulsi Gabbard to speak at CPAC, which, by the way, starts on Thursday. It just really hit home because every other day I'm called like a Republican or Trump supporter, MAGA base. And then people accuse me of hating Republicans. And it's just always a wild ride. And I can only imagine how Tulsi Gabbard feels. So just a few tweets. Unpopular opinion. Republicans shouldn't trust Tulsi Gabbard or promote her rhetoric. She's still very liberal. Another tweet. Tulsi Gabbard is not a Democrat. And reporters that continue to cover her as one are simply perpetuating Republican Russian propaganda to undermine actual Democrats. It's so obvious. Tulsi Gabbard is currently in a multi-year audition to be Trump's running mate in 2024. She ran for the Dem nomination in 2020 to boost her brand nationally. Now she makes the transition to heartbroken, reformed former Dem, has faith in Trump to unite our country. Another tweet, CPAC is hosting pro-abortion Tulsi Gabbard. What's the point of the C, referring to the C in CPAC that stands for conservative. So it's like nobody wanted her there. Let's see, coming from a former Republican, learning that Tulsi Gabbard is going to speak at CPAC tells me she was never really a Democrat. I can fit one more in. Daily reminder that Tulsi Gabbard is a Bernie-supporting socialist. And this to me just speaks to what is going to lead to the downfall of at least this two-party system, the Republicans and Democrats, is that they have become so absolutely insular. You know, Democrats cannot accept anybody who isn't uber left, and Republicans more and more don't want to accept anyone who isn't a supporter of Donald Trump. They shun Republicans who don't support the former president. And so although both parties claim they want to be big tent parties, both of them are becoming more and more insular by the day. And you have people like Tulsi Gabbard who, when folks can't put a finger on where you're at, when they just can't tell, it annoys them deeply. And then you have what I believe is an increasingly large segment of society that is made up of free thinkers who don't fit into a little box that a big party made for them, as I say. And they are willing to consider different points of view, different perspectives. They don't care about the political affiliation of someone. They just care about their ideas. And honestly, at something like CPAC, it is not a bad idea to have even more moderate Democrats or not mainstream Democrats speak at the convention. People who have been willing to listen to conservative ideas, but also challenge conservative ideas, because that can make you stronger as a party. That can make your ideology stronger, right? If you're just sitting at a multi-day conference and you're listening to people with the same exact opinion about everything, sure, it'll get people riled up for the midterms, but it doesn't really do anything to change or to strengthen your ideology. That's what I always say to people about echo chambers. If you're living in your own little bubble, your own little echo chamber, you pick one cable channel and that's all you watch, for instance, your ideology is never challenged. And that can be bad because having your ideology or your ideas, your outlook on the world challenged, one, it can lead you to change your outlook, or two, it can actually strengthen what you already believe. And so a little bit of challenge, it goes a long way. You know, if you're a Fox News listener, news watcher, Newsmax or something, you know, spend some days, a couple hours here and there watching CNN, watching MSNBC, maybe watching BBC or the regular evening news, just so you can pop out of your bubble for a little bit. And even I live in an echo chamber. I think that I have a lot of people on my Twitter and on my Facebook who have a very similar worldview. And so it is good to just branch out a bit and to see what other people are talking about. You know, one more thing about just Tulsi speaking at CPAC, I think it's interesting that Republicans are willing to have her there. You know, when I quit my job in corporate media, it opened up my world to a bunch of possibilities of speaking engagements that I didn't have prior. Because when I was working for Fox, we weren't allowed to accept offers to go speak at anything considered partisan. And so we would have to reject that. But now I've been able to do speaking engagements and I've done a lot of political ones, but not once have I been invited by Democrats to speak at any of their events. However, Republicans and conservatives have invited me to speak at a lot of their events. And I have spoken honestly. I've said publicly, I'm not a Republican. I consider myself a moderate independent. And I have also spoken out against Donald Trump. and the direction of the Republican Party, yet Republicans and conservatives continue to have me at their events. And so to me, that shows a willingness to at least listen to ideas that aren't 100% in line with your own. Whereas I don't know what it is, but Democrats definitely do not want me as a speaker at any of their events. So I don't know if that tells you anything, but yeah, Tulsi Gabbard going to speak at CPAC. There are some Republicans who don't want her there. There's a lot of Democrats who believe that she belongs there. So it'll be very interesting to see what she has to say. That's it for this episode of the Undivided podcast. If you are interested in becoming a subscriber to Undivided, you can do so for as little as $5 a month and get access to the whole suite of content. Not only do I do this twice weekly podcast, which will remain free, but I also do video content, a full show on Sundays, just like if you used to watch my old show when I was with Fox. Very similar, except unfiltered. Brandy Unfiltered. You can become a subscriber one of two ways, either on Patreon, patreon.com/undivided, or by becoming a contributor on my locals community, brandycruz.locals.com. Thank you to the founding sponsor of Undivided, 1530 Mortgage. Visit them at 1530mortgage.com.